Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Fan. JD Bunkus, Ailish Borfar, and one of our favorites, this insider, is brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com. I don't know how we haven't gotten Dan to read that one day. You know how stoked Don Valley North Lexus would be if you had read that
instead
of me?
And they would just record it, and then we would never say it again.
Except Dan's like, yeah, that cost $1 million.
Yeah, good luck.
Yeah. No one's getting over an easy one on you, right? No freebies?
No.
I don't endorse anything. I do what I'm asked to do. I'm not a Lexus owner, though, so I don't know if that would be a conflict. But.
Yeah.
Maybe they'd give you one if you did it.
I seriously doubt that.
Hey, it's been a while. It's been a hot minute. We've had you on the West. Ailish and I have been off. It's good to hear from you, man. I know that you were off. I was shocked that you were doing it this week. I went, of course. Like, he's out doing stuff. He's got some family time. He's relaxing. Mm-hmm. Did you have to take your relaxation time because of the Jays trade deadline? Like, you knew ahead of time how this was going to go, and so you decided, hey, you know what? I'm going to relax. I'm getting out of here for a couple days.
No. 2 months ago, I helped my son move to New York this weekend, Monday, Tuesday. No, my son is moving to New York, has moved to New York, and August 1st was the date, and I'm the good dad, and so I spent Monday, Tuesday moving my son to New York. So like, we booked it. I didn't even know back then the trade deadline was August the 2nd. Not that I even thought of it, but I would have assumed it was July 31st. I didn't remember then that they had moved to later. So, no, my relaxation was lugging stuff into an apartment on the Upper West Side over the last couple of days.
I got to tell you something. I used to move furniture for a living. Like, that was my summer job when I was in university for a couple of summers. My thought is, once you hit 30 and you have any kind of money, you don't move anymore. Like, it's done. I just want to, like, are things okay? Like, you know, are you destitute? Like, you're, because why are you lifting stuff? I know you want to spend time with your son, but surely you guys can find a better activity than you lifting heavy things up into what I'm guessing is a tiny apartment because it's New York.
Tiny.
Oh,
tiny.
Yeah.
The biggest mistake we made is the couch that came from Halifax. So my son drove the U-Haul, and I met him. The couch made it out of the apartment in Halifax, barely, I'm told, into the U-Haul, down to New York. Didn't make it into the apartment.
No.
But it's not like that's a 3-minute thing. Like, that's 45 minutes of swearing and sweating before you say, this thing's going out on the bleeping curb. That's
like
where that's
Friends
going.
Friends pivot scene. That was you guys.
There's
Friends night at the ballpark. So.
It is.
Yeah,
tomorrow.
It's a great point. I would say about 20% of the way, now maybe 50% of the way through the move, I did turn to him and I said, bud, when you move out of here in 2 years, we're just going to be watching.
Here's what I can promise you. What the movers cost? Worth it.
Yeah.
Like, once you're out of college, worth it. Every penny. You cannot spend better money on the dudes who lift that couch and who tell you that news. Although the only part that stinks is if you're the kind of person who goes, like, I'm pretty sure it would fit. And when you're a mover, you're like, listen, we've been trying this for 30 minutes. It's not going.
No, I'm not
and
that
the
person.
Anger.
I'm not that person.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. The anger that you felt moving furniture when people would be like, the people got it out, or the people put it in, is like, oof, that one always stung. But anyways, congrats to your son's move and his tiny apartment, his like closet in the sky I'm sure he's living in. That you maybe bumped your head on the ceiling. You were like, okay. But it's a big one. Big move to New York. So congrats on that. So the deadline does happen. That's fun anyways. You know, you live, you learn. That's a fun one. Deadline happens, but you're busy. What was it like for you then? You're kind of like checking your phone. People are blowing you up, texting you. Because here's how most people's day went. They were on Twitter. They were scrolling, going, something's going to happen. Something's going to happen. And then a couple things happened, but they were pretty far off from, I think, most people's expectations. Did your phone blow up did you have a lot of people texting you going, surely this can't be it? Because that's sort of what I think a lot of ours did look like.
Yeah, a little bit. So stuff came in late too, right? So actually, I was kind of getting more before the moves happened because, and this is typical of every fan base, not just the Blue Jay fan base, but this guy goes here, this guy goes there, this guy goes to another place, and it's where the trail, what's going on? And so I think initially there was angst that there was, that nothing would be done, which was never going to happen. There was never a chance that nothing was going to be done. There's no track record for this front office to do nothing. Look what they did in 2020 and 2021. So, and then when the moves, it's funny. And I said, I was on with Tim McAuliffe last night on Tim Friends and I, and he asked me about it. And I said, you know, if you had said to me 2 days before the deadline, what do you think they should do or what do you think they're going to do? I would have said 2 bullpen arms, a back end starter, and a bat. And that's what they did. But I know for some people, they weren't splashy enough. And I'm sure you were probably among them, JB, although I wasn't listening to you over the last couple of days, but I know you well enough to guess how you might have reacted over the last couple of days. But
poorly
I
in the moment. Wanted,
yeah, that's right. Another one of those go home after work and say, maybe I could have phrased that a little bit differently moments. But listen, they're better, obviously, but everybody around them is better, too. The Yankees are better. The Mariners are better. The Mariners are really the team that I think everybody should be focused on more than anybody else if you're looking at one team, because it could come down to Toronto, Seattle, here or there. And that's a big difference, especially depending on what Robbie Ray decides to do in terms of a vaccine if they're coming to Toronto. But back to the deadline. Like, they got better. Anthony Bass is having a great year. He's not a sexy name, but he's having a great year. I think Zach Pop is more middle relief, lower leverage stuff. Mitch White, I just watched the first 2 innings of Mitch White's last start with the Dodgers. Mitch White's Ross Stripling. It was funny. I turned on the Dodger broadcast, and Joe Davis, the Dodger broadcaster, starts talking about him and Oral Hershiser, and they say, you know, happy-go-lucky guy just throws the pitch in whatever situation he's in. They've started him. They've relieved him. They've demoted him and brought him back up, which obviously the Blue Jays haven't done to Stripling. But the role is similar, and he sounds like Ross Stripling. And you look at the stuff, and it's similar to Ross Stripling. So I think they got another that kind of a guy who looks like he'll be in the rotation, at least as long as Stripling is on the IL. And then the Merrifield, obviously, is the really interesting one, and he, you know, they can't say it yet, but clearly he's going to make the choice that he's going to make, and eventually he'll be able to play home games. And I think his acquisition has something to do with Springer, among other things. But I'm just guessing, guys, that they didn't want to trade Moreno Tiedemann or Aurelvis Martinez, and maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they put them in some offers and didn't get maybe they put one of those in a Frankie Montas offer. I have no idea, but beyond that, I'm not sure the system is as deep as fans of the team would like to believe it is, and maybe they just couldn't compete with some of the other offers.
See, I think that was the eye-opener for fans, was that they didn't have a lot of prospects beyond those three. And there's some reporting-ish, I have been told that Aurelvis Martinez would have been maybe the guy that would have been involved in a Frankie Montas trade. Like, had they done that one, that maybe he was on the table. But your assumptions seems to be pretty correct. Like, Blair said they weren't doing Ricky Tiedemann for essentially anybody, that they think that maybe he could be Manoah. So
I wouldn't either. And I would, if you asked me, if you could only keep one prospect in the whole system, who would you keep? It's Ricky Tiedemann. I would keep Tiedemann over Moreno.
Yeah, so there
That's
were...
Just
there,
me.
Yeah, but, well, there were a couple of eye-opening things, because I think that you learn a little bit more about your actual farm system come deadline time when you're a buyer, right? And that was something that was stated and reiterated by a lot of different people. We talked to some people who know prospects very, very intimately, and a lot of people shared the opinion you have, which is, I think, is exciting for a Blue Jays fan, because that's not a shot at Gabriel Moreno. That's not like, oh, no, this guy's actually not who they thought he should be. He's someone who, again, across baseball is viewed as a high, high, high-end prospect. It's just that Tiedemann might be in that class. So they're very, very top-heavy, but even with those two, and Aurelvis Martinez, who I think still carries a lot of value, most people evaluate the Jays as having a farm system that's somewhere in the 20s. And it seems to me anyways that when they went out as buyers this year, who would want to give up their top two prospects when your needs are bullpen arms and depth pitching, right? Like, they needed to accomplish those things. I just don't think they were able to go as high up in terms of acquiring the types of bullpen arms they needed. And Bass is good, but I think they needed more swing and miss. You even heard guys in their clubhouse publicly state, like Ross Stripling, ahead of the deadline, that they needed more swing and miss in the bullpen. We'd all kind of come with this, and they didn't end up doing it. And we saw names move, right? We saw names move, like Jorge Lopez of the Orioles. We can debate and discuss whether or not, you know, the Orioles would have traded it in their division and how bad of a look that would have been to say, we're not only taking a knee out of the wild card, we're giving them to a divisional rival, but it was depth of prospects, right? It was multiple guys that were in the middle tier. And it just seems like we learned the Jays are really lacking in that department. And the question is, can you, you know, get to a place where this offseason or next season, you can kind of build that up so you're not in this position again where you kind of have to go on the fringes of what you need?
Right. It takes a while. That's not an overnight thing, right? You've got to do a draft by draft. So a couple of whether they turn into something or not, they traded two pretty big prospects to Minnesota for Berríos, right? Two of their top five prospects. At the time, they traded their first round pick from last year, Garo, for that chap. So they thinned out, you know, some of the, you know, higher level prospects were taken in those two trades. And so, you know, it, as a fan of any team, you can't have it every way. You want to go trade for a Berríos, you want to go trade for a Chapman, you got to give up something. It thins out your farm system. And the funny part is it ultimately always gets back to, if you draft the right guys and sign the right guys on the international market, if you have those guys in your system, you can do whatever you want. And look at the Dodgers. Now, I know the Dodgers have a zillion dollars to spend, but the Dodgers always have that next guy, that next guy, that next guy, so they can make these kinds of trades. You know, the Blue Jays system has been thinned, and some guys maybe got hurt or haven't excelled as much this year as they would like, but I agree with you. I think it was kind of top heavy, those top three, and maybe it's two and then Aurelvis Martinez on a bit of a different tier. If you look at the individual trades, like Jordan Groshans, I know he was, but here's another great example. Jordan Groshans was a first round pick and looked like he was going to be a stud in Lansing 2019, I think it was. And then he got hurt. And then he got hurt again. And then the pandemic hit, and he didn't hit for any power this year. He hit one home run this year at AAA. So, you know, his star is not quite as bright as it used to be. They trade him for two relievers. In a vacuum, I think it's a good trade. 2-3 years ago, you'd have gotten more for Jordan Groshans, but who he is now, or who he appears he is now, you're getting two relievers. And you know, Bass they have for next year, Pop they have for like five more years. So yeah. I think, again, I think each trade is a good one in a vacuum. But one other thing about the depth of farm systems, the kid who came from the Dodgers with Mitch White, his name is Alex DeJesus. I don't know anything about him, except he played in the Midwest League this year, where my son broadcast, not the one who moved to New York, the other one, and he, and one of the other ones, and he, I got a lot of sense, and he texted me, and he goes, Dad, this kid's really good. Got a lot of power, swings and misses a lot, but he looks really good. So, but he was like, and I'm going to get this wrong, but he was like the 21st ranked prospect in the Jays system on whether it's Pipeline or Baseball America. And then he went into the Jays system and he's like eighth.
Yeah.
That tells you something about the relative strength of those two farm systems. So having a good farm system is always, always, always the best way, in my opinion, to build a winner, because you can use it to bring those guys up to the majors and turn them into Alec Manoahs, or you can use it to trade them to other teams and get really good players back. And I, if they weren't going to part with the top three, they weren't going to get Luis Castillo or Frankie Montas or Gregory Soto. And look, some of these guys didn't get deals. Soto's still there. Like Joe Jimenez is still in Detroit. Like, so some teams obviously didn't get the offers they were hoping for, and they'll even trade those guys.
Yeah. And again, I think that again, having a lot of conversations with people over the last couple of weeks, it seemed pretty clear that, yeah, the Jays are just still a step behind a lot of the top-tier organizations in terms of being able to replenish those systems in the same way or identify the right people that are most attractive in moves like this come deadline time. So, yeah, to me it was a bit of a refresher in terms of, hey, what's up with the farm and how much stock should we be putting into this, considering, again, this is a front office that very much prides themselves on draft development, all of those different things. And you're right, a lot of those guys have turned up on the Major League Club. Some of those guys have already been put in deals. But yeah, you could say the same thing about an organization like the Padres, and they still had enough to be able to go out and get a Juan Soto. I think that it was a tough deadline for the Jays in general, just in terms of what they needed and what was available. It wasn't an easy one, especially when you looked at what they had with the farm system. But then it brings up this question, Dan, which is, I think that people are now evaluating the timeline of this team a little differently, right? Because whenever you have a deadline like this, you have half the fan base going, well, you got to keep the powder dry because this year is the Yankees and the Astros, and everybody did so much. that maybe this isn't their year. And then the other half of the fan base goes, well, Teoscar and Chapman only have 1 year beyond this one. You only have so many years of control of Vladdy and Bo. Those two guys do not have, you know, contracts. They don't have extensions done yet. And even when that happens, who knows if you're a year or two removed from a Soto situation of your own. Mm-hmm. Where are you at just kind of when it comes to the timeline this group is operating under?
See, this is actually the biggest conversation of all the conversations, I think, and it's fascinating. So, and it's a great question. You bring up a great topic. Teoscar Chapman and Gurriel only have 1 year remaining. I know Gurriel's service time does not get him there, but the contract that he signed after he defected from Cuba started his clock before he got to the major leagues. My understanding is Gurriel is a free agent at the end of next year as well. And that's why, that's another reason. I had people saying to me, well, if they got Soto, and the Soto thing was never going to happen, like never going to happen. But, you know, you could package Gurriel to get this and bring in the left-handed batter. You get, he's only got one more year of control. A non-contending team does not want a guy who's got one more year of control. This is a roster with a ton of talent, but in my mind, the pieces of the puzzle do not fit together all that well. On a couple of levels, and they kind of are who they are at this point. Could there be major changes next season? Yeah, there could be, but like, who are you going to subtract to make major changes? Again, is Gurriel going to be gone? Is Teoscar going to be gone? I don't know. They've only got one more year left. Like, so I'm trying to envision a trade where you go and trade, even if you want to trade one of them, where it, you know, changes the look of your roster demonstrably going into next season. But you make a great point. Those three guys only have one more year. After this year, it's three more for Vladdy and Bo. And the days of this roster being the cheap young core, they're gone. In my opinion, it's over. So they're already at 160 or 170 million. Vladdy's making 8 million this year. He'll probably go to 16 or 18 in arbitration. Yep. Or in a settlement. Bo's making like $750,000. He's going into arbitration. So if Vladdy got 8 based on last year, Bo will get at least 6 or 7, I would think. Teoscar's going to get a raise. Jordan Romano hits arbitration this year. He's going to get a well-deserved raise, obviously. The payroll's going up. So I think you're into – I mean, you've got to go for it, obviously. But maybe this year Ross Atkins tried to take the middle ground. Like, he didn't go crazy like A.J. Preller did, but he didn't do nothing. He did stuff that he could live with both financially – and in terms of the prospects they're giving out. But, you know, who knows the rest of the season going to the offseason. There are going to be some significant changes on this roster, and I don't know what that means exactly, but whether that means trading off a guy to free up some payroll that you need to use in another area, or trading a really important player off this team, whoever that might be, to change the look of it, it's like, they're fun and they're exciting and they're good. And, hey, they could get on a roll and win the World Series. Some things about the roster that make navigating it going forward a little bit tricky right now in my mind.
How does the situation with George Springer, especially with his injury concerns and his age and the amount of money that he makes, kind of factor into all of that kind of messiness that you just laid out that the Blue Jays are facing?
But it's our mess, so we know that. So.
Yeah, we're allowed to say someone else, no dice. Dan Shaw, right. It's fine. Safe space.
No, listen, obviously you would take the Blue Jays situation over most other teams. I'm not trying to paint it as bleak. I'm just saying there are some things they got to figure out. And in the off season, I think, and even going beyond that with the so-called Vladdy Bo window for three more years. But, yeah, Ailish, the Springer thing, you know, and again, maybe that's a bigger topic for the offseason. They made the move that they just made. Merrifield, no question, part of the reason they're getting him is that you can put him out in center field. And I would imagine Bradley Zimmer probably is the guy who loses his spot when Merrifield shows up today. I think it's an option on Merrifield if they keep him. But I've always felt one of the things this team has needed for a while is like a legit center fielder. Not that George is not, it's just that George is 32 and he tends to get hurt a fair bit, and this is year 2 of 6, and I believe by year 4 at the latest George Springer is going to be the right fielder for this team. You know, again, Teoscar's got one more year and who knows what could happen, but I think by 2024 George Springer is the right fielder. Just my guess, nobody said that to me. I don't think they need a guy who hits a ton to play center field, but I think they need a center fielder, a guy who can go out there and just hold his own with the bat and play a good center field 6-7 days a week. So, you know, Merrifield in the short term, Tapia in the short term, you know, you can mix and match those guys in center if George is unable to play center field. But down the line, again, maybe that's another conversation. Okay, they've got too much of this, but not enough of that. So how do they take the surplus they have in this area and help fix a situation that needs another way?
See, I think that everything we can take that we just discussed, and you can sort of all put it together, to me it's that they know they've got some big decisions to make this offseason. Keeping George Springer healthy is going to be one of them. Moving him to probably right field seems like that has to happen to me. He's going to be turning 33 years old. He's gotten hurt in back-to-back seasons now where he hasn't been able to stay healthy, and it's really impacted them. Like 2021, they missed the playoffs, and we go bullpen, and we can bring up a whole variety of reasons, but George Springer and the quote-unquote full season of him being healthy was one of the biggest sales pitches to Blue Jays fans this year as to why this season would be different when they were, you know, making what could have been considered at the time lateral moves around the team, whether it was Gausman for Ray or Semien and Chapman, however you wanted to do it. He's got 4 years left, and it's 22-5 every single year on the books. Like, that's a lot of dough.
Yeah.
You got to find a way to keep him healthier. What you've tried so far hasn't worked. So he moves to right. I think they always had to make a decision on one of Teoscar or Lourdes to make their lineup more versatile. That seems like it's going to be to me, but you just said it. What do you get back for a guy like that? Because you're trading him to a competitor. You don't want to trade either of them within the American League and help a competitor get better. So that,
well, I think what you get back is... sorry to interrupt you. I think what you get back is... You like, again, you can't trade them to a rebuilding team. Doesn't make sense.
Nope.
So you can trade them to another contender who needs a bat and maybe has an excess of arms. And they've got a pitcher with 1 year left on his deal. You know what I mean? Like, you could, the trades are out there. They're harder to find. But shock me if, you know, one of those two guys is not here next year. But again, like, there could be all kinds of excitement over the next couple of months. You know, before we'll have all kinds of time in November to
100%.
To talk about the best. Tied up in a lot of money right now. They really, really are. Like, if you're going to cheer as they get a Gauze, as they bring in a Chapman, and you can go back to Ryu, the first signing of this era, the first signing of this era. We all think they had to give him the fourth year to get him. And that's great. They got him. It was fantastic in 2020. It really signaled they were in the game. That's tremendously important, but you can pay for it on the back end. And the back end is he's going to get paid $20 million next year. And that's $20 million they don't have to use somewhere else. But these are the risks you take, and a lot of teams go through it. And, you know, Gausman has been great, and Chapman has been really good, and we all I think we all believe in Berríos. And, like, there's a lot of talent, and they have made moves to try to bring people in. But when you sign guys to contracts and you trade away prospects, there's a price to be paid. And the Blue Jays aren't the only team. Every contender, really, except the Yankees and Dodgers, deals with this kind of stuff. So, but, you know, let's see how the next couple of months go. They're a better team. And I know the moves weren't the splashiest moves that could have been made, but they're a better team. I don't think they're going to have low-leverage guys working high-leverage innings as much as they did or as much as they have at the beginning of the season. And, you know, they're really deep on the position player side now, adding Merrifield. Maybe he gets a little adrenaline kick, you know, getting back into a pennant race, and looks like the Merrifield of 2 or 3 years ago. We'll see, but we'll know a lot more tonight. It's going to be an interesting day at the ballpark with all of these guys showing up.
Yeah, this is a fun stretch where you get to see the new players, and I think that you've still got a 3-game cushion. It's really not bleak for this season, but there's going to be some this last stretch here. I think is going to inform them a lot on some of the things that they're going to have to address this offseason, and whether or not that's going to have to involve the three guys they didn't want to touch this year. Dan, we missed you around deadline time. We're thrilled to have you back on. I hope you're not too sore from the move, and I hope your son got a cool, tiny little couch in the skybox. You know, like, I hope he got one in there. That he's not just sitting on the floor.
It's an anime. They've got that. Which has been ordered. The tiny couch has been ordered. Yeah.
Tiny couch is on its way. Dan Shulman, Blue Jays play-by-play announcer. Thanks so much for making time. We'll talk to you hopefully soon.
Okay, guys. Have a good one. Thanks.
See you, man. That Insider has been brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com. Always love getting to catch up with Dan. I think I got to look into this. Maybe this is a question for like Shy or BNS or Blair, but I think the Jays actually insured Hyunjin Ryu's arm. So there's a chance that $20 million is not on the books.
It would have been a good forward-thinking thing to
do. Yeah. Well, the thing is that it would cost a ton of money for insurance on an arm like that for, you know, someone making that type of a salary who has that injury history and who's that age. But I think they did. They might have done it. So something worth checking in on in terms of our future budgetary conversations. I don't know. I don't know if that's a $20 million sunk cost against the team when we're evaluating things moving forward. I had my worst bet of the year.
Did you ever?
Mariners Yankees first five under was over before there was an out. I think that's a new record for worst bet.
You take the cake for sure. Yeah,
Garrett Cole. Shout out Garrett Cole.
Shocking. So it was shocking.
Yeah. They whooped his ass. Do you have any good? I also hope that there are some good texts for gifts for your dad. But guess what? Nobody buys any gifts for their dads. So nobody has any ideas because everyone feels exposed.
There
right?
was like only one or two.
Exactly. Suggestions. Exactly.
Silence.
That's what I'm saying. Silence.
Crickets.
The silence is deafening on buying fathers gifts for their birthdays. You should all be ashamed. I hope you all feel ashamed. Let's take a break. Let's talk to Blake Murphy about his Super Bowl tonight. It's the Fan Morning Show. JD and Ailish, Sports Night 590 The Fan.
Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Wake up!
Now it's time for Wake and Rake.
You could be raking in the dough if you're kind of after it.
Show me the money!
With JD, Blake, and Ailish.
Wake and Rake time. Brought to you by Unibet. Crazy about the odds. Had the that Unibet up all morning. I've been scanning because I can't have another beat like I had last night where it's just, you know, at least here's the thing I always say about sports betting is that, again, you do it responsibly. It's entertainment dollars. You view it as a sunk cost. You don't talk about going to a concert, right, and say, oh, well, I didn't win any money at the concert. It's like, yeah, no, it's supposed to be something that is an entertainment dollar to enhance an experience. It's why you go instead of just listening to a CD on your couch. But I didn't get anything out of the bet being over before an out was recorded yesterday. I'd say that's not where you want to live. There's no bet that's worth the money for. So, yeah,
at least you could close the laptop like 8 minutes after the show ended. Like,
I actually have a confession. I have a confession.
I know.
Yeah, that is, and I say this confession because I really do feel like it's my fault and I feel bad about it. And Ailish knows the curse of when I don't bet on my own bets, they always lose. And I forgot that it was a noon game. I got wrapped up in the Jays. I was, you know, it's a Jays afternoon game. I did some errands. I had an appointment, and then I bang. All of a sudden, the Jays start. I'm scrambling. I'm watching it, and then all of a sudden, Blake texts me, "Good bet." I'm like, "Oh, right." So I didn't lose any of my own money. So sorry to everybody. I take hand up. That's my fault. We'll try to be better today. Before
it makes
we do
you feel
that,
better. I didn't bet it either.
We cursed ourselves.
Yeah, twas a curse. Twas a cursedy curse. Okay, so we said going to the break that tonight is Blake's Super Bowl.
He had no idea.
He has no idea. Zero idea. About. And so Blake and I are going to a concert tonight. We're going to go see one of my absolute favorites, Freddie Gibbs.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Very, very excited.
No wonder you took tomorrow off.
Although, I got to tell you, I'm a little this is a time where I'm almost like looking for a press credential because Freddie Gibbs is supposed to drop a new album in June, and there's like no update as to what exactly happened with that. And he's on tour for something that I thought was to promote this album. When I like thought about the tickets, I thought this will be him promoting this album. And I'm worried that, what was that show, Batgirl? You know, that just got
buried.
Yeah,
that's just a tax write-off.
It's like $40 million dumped into that movie too.
Well, it's a little odd that it was supposed to drop in June and it's now August and there's not even like a, hey, what's up with that?
Maybe tonight's the release and you don't even know.
Well,
ooh.
Let us pray because I would really love Blake knows this about me. I don't know if you do, Ailish, but I'm not a big singles person, which is odd for a big fan of hip-hop. It's like, I like a single, fine, but I need an album. Like, I need to go through an album. And you two are both record snobs, so you should be able to kind of relate to this. Well, yeah, you do the hipster thing. You go, you put on a record, and it's like, okay, I don't do playlists, is probably what you tell people. Yeah, I don't really, can't really do a playlist.
Is that how
yeah,
we sound?
Like, yeah, that's my impression of the two of you if you both talk at the same time.
Yeah, okay.
You're talking over top of each other. But, yeah, I need a full album. A single doesn't do anything for me. I listen to a single once or twice.
Totally
it goes
agree.
Away into the ether. It's gone. I need an album. And so, yeah, I'm really hoping that he has one. But tonight, Blake's Super Bowl.
He's going to miss it. Oh,
no, that's
kind
what I'm
of
saying. I'm nervous to tell him because I don't want him
he's
to cancel our plan. I don't want him to ghost me. I don't want him to ghost me. But Blake, tonight, the battle for your love. The Jacksonville Jaguars are visiting the Las Vegas Raiders in the Hall of Fame game.
Football.
Oh, first of all, don't you dare. The Hall of Fame game is an institution.
It's huge. And
my brother is very excited.
And
you should be.
I'm not even joking. I'm also very excited. If I wasn't going to this concert tonight, I would watch this primary screen, Jay's secondary screen. No question.
Mm-hmm.
I can smell an NFL parlay again, you know? Like, it's in the air. I can smell my fantasy team being down 50 points with only one receiver left for a Monday Night Football game after I ate a disgusting amount of food the evening before. I can, it's in the air. That emerges tonight, that sweet smell of the fall. It's right there. It's around the corner. Football betting is back tonight. Raiders are the favorites at home. 2.5-point favorites against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Minus 139 on the money line, plus 115 on the money line for the Jaguars. The total, a hefty 30 and
there's
a half
no
points.
Way it's hitting well, that.
Under season. Okay.
Did you see last NFL Hall of Fame game? It was like three points.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
It's going to be messy.
Yeah. Anyways, Blake, now that you're aware of this occurrence this evening, will I still be seeing you for beers at 7:30 before
okay.
the show?
I was aware of the game. I didn't think you guys thought it would
come
be
on,
Super
it's
Bowl level.
Your level of – you got both your teams playing.
It's for Blake's love. That's why they did it. These two teams put it down on the schedule. They said, listen, winner of this team, of this game, gets Blake's love. Because I'm a little worried about the Raiders because I thought, hey, the Raiders have a real shot to steal Blake's love here. Here's the thing.
They do.
He loves wearing black. He absolutely kills it in the Raiders hat. He loves it, right? I wouldn't be surprised if he wore the Raiders hat tonight
He's
to the
going
show.
To, for
In fact,
sure.
I would say it's a minus 135 favorite before I mentioned it out loud. That was always a favorite hat. Number two, they get Davante Adams. Now it's fun. There's like friendship stories between him and Derek Carr. They've got a sick receiver core. They've just got a team that's supposed to be on the. They play in the most interesting division in football. So night in, night out, the Raiders games are fun. He gets to be a part of the black hole. There's all kinds of just cool stuff to be involved in. The Raiders trip, we've already talked about his love of summer league, all the things. They had all the momentum in the world. But in the shadows, the Jacksonville Jaguars have become sort of one of the hypey early training camp teams. A lot of buzz about Travis Etienne being the next Alvin Kamara and that he's going to be the hybrid role, looking like a Deebo Samuel. Is he a receiver? Is he running back? We don't know. But
no Trevor Lawrence tonight. Backups out.
I know.
Who's
I'm just
playing?
Saying. Just saying.
Well, this is the thing. From a pure betting perspective, the most important position for preseason NFL is who's the backup quarterback, right? Like who's coming in after the starter gets their first series. And after
true fan test, who are the backup
Trevor
quarterbacks?
CJ Beathard.
He's out.
Who's the backup?
But I know he's out. I don't know who they're like. They're
Jake Luton.
You're still a Jags
fan.
I know the Raiders backup quarterback has a last name that I can't pronounce. It's just like
never been
it's
said
all
out loud.
Consonants.
This bums me out. That the Raiders, because I'm capping for the Raiders. The Raiders are the team that I'm trying to hook Blake up with. You know,
big
that's
time.
My friend.
So
where I'm going,
here's the other thing, though. So I've shared before that my youngest brother became a Jaguars fan as well and kind of adopted that. We're going to a Jags game this year for the first time.
Losers.
So it's going to be hard to be more than like a 49% Raiders fan.
You guys going to yell Duval?
My actual Super Bowl? No, we're going to see them in Detroit. in December.
Ugh.
That
well, you really Super have it figured losers. Out. Yeah, you are losers. What is wrong with you guys? Did you guys pick this point in schedule where you went, "Hey, what's the least
most depressing
fun we
time
have?
Of my
yeah,
life?"
What's the one time on the schedule that will be the lamest
13,
game to go to?
So week 13. Everyone will be knocked out already. Nobody cares.
Oh, that's so depressing. I was gonna say that it's going to a Jags game would be kind of fun because they have that little swimming pool area at the stadium.
My brother has a baby, though, so he didn't want to do a whole trip to Florida.
That's what the wife and the babysitters are for.
Also, that's what planes are for, where it's like the flight to Jacksonville.
Boys have a weekend.
I cannot
a couple of hours.
Dictate what he
is.
Is
he
going to
bring the baby to Detroit?
Hey, by the way.
Yeah, we're going to bring the baby. We're going to give the baby to the Jaguars mascot, Jackson DeVille, and try to get some photos and stuff. Well, no.
By the way, I bet you... Your brother would disagree with the whole you saying you can't dictate what he does thing. My guess is you're a bossy brother. That's my guess.
No.
You're a bossy bro.
No, I'm
not a
bossy
bro.
What? No.
All right.
I'm not a bossy anything. I'll just make the plans when everyone decides.
All right. Fine. Actually, that is what happened with Freddie Gibbs tonight. I made the plans.
Exactly.
He was like, "Yeah, we've."
You're just, like, "We're going to Freddie Gibbs," and I was like, "Okay, I'll meet you at this place." At 7:00.
That's pretty much what happened. Yeah, I didn't really give you an option. I say,
"That's how most of my friendships work."
Yeah, I was like, "Yeah, I got tickets. It's already done. It's in the bag." So yeah, Freddie Gibbs tonight. We won't see the Hall of Fame game, unfortunately.
No, Blake's going to be streaming it on his phone. You're going to look down and just like,
"No, honestly, Ailish,
Rogers ignite,
nothing.
Baby."
Ailish, nothing would make me happier. Nothing would swell my... It would be like Ben Affleck at the end of Good Will Hunting where he's just like walking the car. If Blake was watching football on his phone at a concert, like
preseason football is the thing. I've had a sports game up on my phone discreetly at a concert before. Not a preseason game, no.
No, like I said, I'm Affleck walking in the car, smiling out into the ether at the thought of that. So yeah, we're heading to the show tonight. If anybody else is going, let us know. So other pieces of business. The Hall of Fame game, we don't have a feel for it. It's coin toss. I usually do say it's very much the same advice as Blake gave with the preseason with the NBA, with Summer League games, which is just bet the dogs, especially at the point of the – at the turning point time where you end up getting – what is it? All the stars usually going home? I would say what I have been told before – this is just what I've been told. I can't tell if it's true or if it's not, but what I've been told by people is that it's actually easier to bet the NFL preseason, and it's usually more profitable for sharps than it is to bet the regular season. So take that for what it's worth. I think that that's something where, you can look into the information of the games, but also you can look at it where I think that teams get too heavily favored in some of these ones. So for me, the one that I've eyed up is Ravens are -200 favorites. That's the biggest one on the board that I saw anyways as of this morning. They're facing the Titans, and the Titans, a little bit buzz. Got Malik Willis. Could be fun. Just saying, +165 for the Titans tonight. It might be a little...
This is next week, bud.
Yeah. Sorry, that's this week.
No, so, August 11th.
August 11th.
Yeah, August 11th. Yeah, my bad. I'm looking at the first week of the NFL preseason anyways.
We'll
this guy's
that for
making
next
best
week.
Bets a week in advance.
All right, wake and rake.
I thought it was this weekend, but yeah, that's kind of now I'm a little bummed out about it. I forgot the Hall of Fame game is a standalone for the week, but yeah. Either way, I'm going to stand by that as of right now.
And, well, next Thursday, you're putting in your wake and rake, okay?
Well, I might be also riding the Ailish first game under here because, I'm with you.
Big time.
These quarterbacks are not overly impressive, and even at 30.5, just like, all right.
So here's where you're actually going, though. Your Super Bowl, everyone's Super Bowl tonight, Jansen Junk back on the mound.
Yes, Jansen Junk.
Undefeated.
First of all, that's
zero earned runs. Jansen Junk back on the bump.
Junk on the bump. Junk in the... Junk.
Are you trying to do bore on the floor?
Bore on the floor. On the bump.
Junk on the bump is definitely, obviously, my
what
best
a guy.
Best.
Yeah, JD Junkus back in business as he goes with the Angels over the Athletics.
I think here's what Jansen Junk, how he owes his career to me, purely me. I don't even, no one knew who he was. Then I came along and then, sites are using him as, hey, what's the best name in sports, you see? I brought Jansen Junk awareness and I will continue to do that. So, yes, if you would like to know.
I still maintain that the best name in baseball is a reliever named Josh Outman. He's not in the league. Like, he's in AAA now, so it doesn't really count. But your last name is Outman, and you're a relief pitcher. You can't, like, other than a guy being named, like, Johnny Homers, like, there's no way to beat Outman as a reliever.
Yeah. I like junk. I'm just a junk guy, right? Like, I'm a Jansen junk guy. I'm a JJ guy.
You think his nickname is like, it's got to be like Junkyard or like Junks. No, we talked about this last night.
Yeah,
Junks.
Junks.
Junkie. You thought it could be Junkie. Junks
Junker.
Junker. No, oh, Junker's bad. I don't like Junker.
No, Junker. I think it's Junker or it's Junks.
Junks.
It's one of those two, and that's what they call him. And that's just this country. Maybe it's something weird down in Los Angeles where, who knows? But, yeah, anyway, I got the Angels tonight, minus 122 with Jansen Junk against Pete Blackburn. It is my best bet of the day. So, yes, that is a early concession there. The Blue Jays tonight, it's Alec Manoah night, which usually means a win for the Toronto Blue Jays. He's fine, I guess, from the comebacker.
Better be.
Yeah, he says if he presses on it, it hurts, and then if he doesn't, it's fine. But Jays,
it's good. Jays have had no problem with guys with mysterious elbow injuries that only hurt when they do baseball things.
Yeah.
Like George Springer's not injured. He just can't throw or hit. Alec Manoah's not injured. His elbow just hurts if you use it or touch it.
Yeah, if you touch it, yeah. No, it's fine. And this is a team that has just an insane amount of pitching depth, so even if you lose Manoah, it's going to be totally fine. yeah, but it's Manoah versus Sonny Gray. Sonny Gray putting together actually a pretty decent Sonny Gray season. A little bit of a bounce back for this guy. Still doesn't strike anybody out, but he's been performing for the Twins. Good signing for them. But yeah, so Manoah against Sonny Gray. What are we leaning with tonight, Blake Murphy?
Yeah, it's a Jays lean. It is Manoah on the hill. Minnesota's got some buzz right now, aggressive at the deadline. Despite Sonny Gray's really strong season, I'm a big Sonny Gray guy. Not the best track record against guys the Jays will trot out there. Matt Chapman has hit him hard. Teoscar Hernandez has a pair of homers off of him. So even though the average isn't there, he has jumped on him. I don't know if you can pencil George Springer in, but George Springer has like bonkers stat cast numbers against him over 25 plate appearances. There are a couple Jays who can get to him. He's actually never faced Vlad, though, which is Vlad or Bo, which is interesting.
Yeah, never faced Vlad, Bo, Espinal, Biggio, Bichette, Danny Jansen. He's faced once. Kirk,
yeah.
Zero
no
times.
Kirk, yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know if I can do the track record thing with Sonny Gray. I think, to me, this is just simply an Alec Manoah play, given that it's short odds. The Jays get these bullpen arms tonight, so you could expect a guy like Anthony Bass to pitch for them, which I think should be pretty exciting for the Jays, knowing that, yeah, they need some guys in leverage. They need some guys that can extend this bullpen a little bit. So getting him as a shot in the arm, I think, is going to be important for them.
No Manoah strikeout props up yet, but I think probably like what, 6.5, 6.5
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of Manoah.
I know,
strikeout
I always bring it up, and then I'm like, you know, he's not, he never really strikes people out, but I always look at that bet.
Well,
get excited.
He strikes people out. He's got 114 on the season. He can do it. It's just that I usually find that his prop is set a little too high for the caliber in which he is. And I think people look at strikeout props, especially against competition. Like, I thought the Tigers bet was not a good one because the Tigers are a contact-hitting team, and Manoah was just a little bit too high against them. That was a bad start for him. It was a kind of flukish start for Detroit to be able to beat up on him like that, literally, you know, actually hurting him and getting him to exit the game. But, yeah, it's not a matter of I don't think he's capable of getting his punchies.
I just think
it's usually set a little too high, and the juice is not ending up great. So I've never really seen a Manoah strikeout number that I look
appealing
at and go, this is a good one. Yeah, but I do like the Jays tonight, minus 122.
Could I interest you in a no-runs first inning bet?
Kind of, actually. Because, what do you think about the Lourdes leading off thing? You think that's going to continue while Springer's out?
If Springer's out, yeah, I think he'll stay there. He's been fine in that role, and I don't know who else you'd put there.
I'm thinking Springer's staying out for a little while, just based on
if
Schneider's comments.
If he hits the IL, the interesting thing becomes, like, do they throw Witt in there because of the contact and the speed?
I guess.
Well, I would prefer not, because I prefer the on-base skill versus contact and speed skill.
Yeah.
I'm more of a, get-on-base leadoff guy than I am a
More Biggio than Espinal in the leadoff.
Yeah. So, this is always really tough to project when we do this in the early morning, but I saw John Schneider's comments on George Springer, and then I watched this organization trade for Whit Merrifield, and it just, there doesn't lead a lot to believe that they're going to, why would they rush George Springer back? Now, you could say that they had already had time to rest him, but then he re-aggravated it. I would just assume that a team that has a three-game cushion right now and just acquired a guy who can play in this game against the Twins, that they're not going, and they have Alec Manoah on the mound, that they're not going to rush back George Springer, that they're going to be uber cautious with him. So no runs first inning to me is a nice one, because I would assume that Manoah is going to have a bounce back. And yeah, you might be looking at a Jays team that potentially could have a leadoff guy with a, you know, sub, what is it, 640 OPS so far this year in Whit Merrifield. I do think that he's the kind of guy, if he does lead off, is actually going to have potentially a game with the Jays right away. Like, he just seems like a gamer. He seems like the type of guy that would love an opportunity like this. But who knows? I think the numbers are the numbers, and you're probably getting a decent price. What is it?
-115.
It's okay. Yeah, it's not bad.
Over so. One run was -108.
Yeah. So it's basically even odds. I'll play it. I'll play the no runs first inning. I don't mind it.
I think I was going to make that my wake and rake, but you're too positive on it, and that's not usually how things work. So what I'm going to do...
I was pretty middling. I said, okay, I'll come along.
Well, then you... Yeah, okay. And that was like a late addition to my wake and rake, okay, but my original gut one was Padres on the run line. Did you see their game last night? Have you seen how they've played against the Rockies? Brandon Drury has his very first pitch ever as a Padre. Would he get a grand slam? Like, that's pretty incredible. That team is red hot. So I'm just going to bet on them to continue that. They're playing the Rockies at 4 o'clock game. So at least it's early, so make sure you bet it.
Get the bet in.
Padres on the run line, -130.
Mm-hmm. Poor Kyle Freeland.
They got to win by two. They got to win by two runs. Or more. Blake, what's your best bet today, buddy?
I'm going afternoon game two. I'm going Brandon Woodruff over 7.5 strikeouts with plus money on it. Give us a little boost in terms of the overall odds there. He's hit that over in 5 of his last 6 starts. The Pirates are second in the league in strikeout percentage. And over a decent sample against this roster, he has almost a 40% strikeout rate against the Pirates. So strikeout artist against one of the most strikeout-prone teams in baseball. It's a high number at 7.5, but we're getting plus money on it, so juice the parlay.
The 12:30 game, everybody.
Yeah. Make sure, hey, be aware of the times.
Bet apparently, right now.
That's the learn from my mistakes.
Our parlay is +578.
All right, tell you, let's do it. When you do a 3 p.m. radio show about baseball and there's 12:30 baseball on as you're prepping and coming in the studio, it's perfect.
Yeah, it feels good. Feels very, very good. All right, that's your Wake and Rake for today, August 4th. Beautiful day. See you down at Freddie Gibbs tonight, Blake. And hopefully we're streaming a little bit of preseason football. It's here, baby. Let's go. All right, go Jays. It's Fan Morning Show. JD, Blake, and Ehlers. Sports at 5-9 of the Fan.